Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
The Blazers have become just another 500 team. Sad days in Rip City. But we're going to talk about it here on Blazers Focus and maybe pick you up. The Blazers Focus podcast is supported by Zoom Care, Beyond Better Healthcare. I am Aaron Fisher. I cover the Blazers for the Oregonian and Oregon Live. And I'm joined by Craig Birnbaugh. Craig, how are you?
I'm better than that. I mean, gosh.
This sounds so depressing. Sad and morbid. I know.
It's so sad. It's not great. I'm not going to lie to you.
It's not. So I'm in Los Angeles. I watched the Blazers get thumped last night, 128-109. Expected, given all their injuries. Harden was out. Nasir's out along with Lillard. But now, also coming off of blowing the 18-point lead against the Clippers and melting down the fourth quarter, they have now lost 8 of 10. And they've turned a 9-3 record into an 11-11 record. And of all the problems, though, I blame your boy, Kelly Acoin, because he came on this show. He came on this show 2 weeks ago talking about Western Conference Finals this and Western Conference Finals that, and Shaedon Sharpe's going to be MVP, and they're going to four-peat. And now, ever since then, they've been a train wreck. I saw him last night here at the Crypto.com arena, and I told him the exact same thing to his face. I said, this is all your fault, Kelly. It's all your fault. But in reality, it's not his fault. It's a lot of different things that we're going to talk about here today. But just real quickly, just give the fans your sense of the overall bigger picture of what we're seeing during this collapse.
Wow, you used the word collapse.
From 9-3 to 11-11. Your defensive rating goes from 107 to 120. You're collapsing.
So we do a podcast all season long. So it's just segments, right? Like a segment of the season. Right now, it's bad. And if anyone tries to act like it's not bad, they're lying to themselves. It's bad. Like everything we said had to go right for them to be a good team has gone wrong. So they're not a good team. Damian Lillard has to stay healthy. Not healthy. Defense has to be at least mediocre. Not mediocre. It's bad. They gave up over 125 points to a mediocre Lakers team, and I don't care who's on the – if that's your team, that's your team. You can't – that is bad. Jusuf Nurkić has to at least live up to the contract. Last night he did not live up to the contract. That was bad. We said things like, if you're depending on a 19-year-old rookie who hasn't – last played AAU basketball for your team to actually win or lose, you're in trouble. Well, you're in trouble because we're going to talk about the fact that Sharp really needs to contribute or they're not going to win. Injuries overall, not just Lillard. Well, Hart out. You know, Little out.
Peyton's still not back.
Right, not back. Keon Johnson, like, who cared about Keon Johnson? Well, I'd be like, well, they can sure use Keon Johnson right now, you know? So all these things. And can, you know, what's the coaching going to be like with, you know, with Billups? Well, at 9-3, we're giving them the coach of the year. Fourth quarter of the Clipper game, we were firing them. You know what I mean? Like, it was bad. And I'm not saying we're firing them, but you know what I mean? Like, that is not good. Blowing an 18-point lead to a Clippers team that Norman Powell is killing you, you know, there's nothing you should be able to say at this point that's good about this segment of the season. Does it mean the rest of the season is over and done? No, but it means that if things don't quickly bounce back, it's going to trend in the wrong direction. Now that said, 11-11, if you go back to the preview, that's right where I had him, right? Between 7-10, right? And battling for that, as we talked about last time, you know, between the 40 and, you know, 45 to, you know, high end 47 wins. So they're not that far off. But at this point in time, until Lillard gets back, I don't know how they're not going to be a mediocre or worse team.
Wow, well said. I think
see how optimistic, I think, see how positive I am. See how positive.
I think that was so well said. Podcast over. Let's just drop the mic and walk off. So they're tied for eighth right now. They're actually sitting. Well, they have listed 10th, but that's only 2.5 games out of third, right? So there's still a lot of congestion there in the West. But you're starting to see some teams figure some things out. The Warriors, you know, they're back to their winning ways. They're going to climb back up the standings. The Kings have won 7 of 10. They're 11-9 now. The Pelicans have won 7 of 10. They're 13-8. Like, there's some teams making some moves and starting to rise while you are falling apart and you've lost you've gone 2-8 in your last 10. But I do think there's a lot of legit reasons in play here that make it not seem as bad as it is. But at the same time, there's other red flags, like you mentioned, the defense, which, you know, the defense shouldn't be this bad because Lillard's out. Lillard's not a defensive stopper, right? You know what I'm saying? So anyway, we're going to get into all of that. Get into all that right now, segment by segment, horrifying part by horrifying part. the injuries. Are the injuries enough of an excuse for what's been happening? Because even on that six-game road trip, they went 4-2. A ton of guys missed games on that trip aside from Lillard, and they still managed to win 4 games. But now guys are missing games, and they're just getting pasted. So there has to be more to it than just the injury.
Yeah, and it wasn't enough for the Clippers to lose on the road.
Without George, without Kawhi, without Wall, without Kennard, I know.
So, no. Some yes, some no, right? Against the Clippers, there's no excuse for losing that game. There's none. You certainly can't blame a Lillard injury to lose to the team that was playing, you know, as short-handed as they were, down 18 and on the road. Did I think they were going to beat the Lakers last night? No, I didn't. But did I think they were going to get just run over in the, you know, third and fourth quarter? And did I think they were going to give? I mean, maybe I did, but I didn't think that you can't, right? You can't give up over 125 points in a regular regulation and win basketball games in the NBA very often.
Right.
It's just interesting to me that this team defense again is the problem. Now, last night, Hart being out is huge. Like, he's the glue that fills the voids, that the things that we love saying, it's all the little things. Well, this is what happens when those don't get filled, right? His rebounding on a team that doesn't have great rebounders, he's the great rebounder. They don't have a rebounding problem when Hart plays. Their defense is not always great when he's in it, but when he's not, you could see there's a problem. And he also, just that attitude of, I mean, a few times they've been down double figures, and I'm like, this season, oh, this game's over. But Hart's like, no, it's not, you know, and he just does stuff, and then everyone catches on. So that injury last night, I think, was huge to not have Hart. And I think if he's out, you know, he's got a sprained ankle, so it doesn't look like long term, but, you know, from what I heard, you were maybe saw it in the locker room, but I read them things and it looked bad.
Oh, yeah.
You know,
he could barely walk to the shower. There was no way he was going to
play. Right. So that's not a one game. That's not usually a one game injury. So that worries me. But no, I mean, the fact that they are finding ways to lose rather than finding ways to win is worrisome.
Yeah. I'm leaning a little bit more toward giving him somewhat of a pass for a lot of it, other than the Clippers game. And, you know, after that game, that one just felt different. And I asked Chauncey and I asked Anthony about it. Like, you guys have rationalized a lot of things and, you know, talked away a lot of problems early on that were fair. You know, new team, gelling together, blah, blah, blah. But they were having success. So when they would have a bad night, it would be like, well, we're still working on this. Okay, fine. And turnovers, obviously, an issue they're working on, et cetera, et cetera. But that game against the Clippers was just like, what is this? What are you guys doing? How can you look this bad? The Clippers game, the Laker game, and there was no way they were going to win that game. The Lakers have been playing really well lately. LeBron and Anthony Davis, by far the best two players on the court, and they're big. Your weakness is size, and two of your best defenders are out. Well, three counting Payton, but two who have been playing. So there was no way they were going to win that game. But big picture-wise, we're just seeing a continual erosion of the defense. And Chauncey said last night that, yeah, there's been some slippage. And he talked about, you know, one, the injuries, not just losing good defenders, but putting younger guys in who are making mental mistakes in defensive rotations that you're not going to see from the veterans. So that's legit, again, to a certain extent. But we've seen the starters out there, most of them other than Dame, and Dame doesn't impact defense, and they're still getting run through, right? You know, they're still giving up a ton of points. And you look at their scores, like at one point, I think on that trip, the 4-2 trip, I think they allowed 103 points per game, 104, something like that. The last trip, they allowed 118. And in the last 10 games, their defensive rating is 120. Whereas prior to that, they were like at about 107, 108 or something like that. So it's just been a complete collapse defensively. And that's why they can't win anything. Because if you're giving up 118 to Utah, 119 to Milwaukee, 114 to Cleveland, I mean, they pulled out the Knicks game because your Knicks team is just brutal. And they just gave it 132 to a Blazers team without Dame. That's embarrassing, but we'll talk about that later. And so if you're giving up those kind of points, if you're giving up those types of points and you don't have your best scorer, you are in big, big trouble. So I just feel like that this is kind of a scary situation for them right now, because if the defense is unraveling, if other teams are figuring them out, then you're really in big trouble, because they've shown nothing offensively, even with Dame, to show that they're the same team they were a couple years ago when they could drop 130 or 125 when they needed to win after giving up 120. I said a lot.
So I agree with everything you said, except for the part about the Lakers playing well. I mean, no, the Lakers have eight wins.
No, they won 6 out of 8, though. They started out 2-10.
Yeah. Four of those wins are against the Spurs.
Four?
And one of them's against the Pistons. I mean, like, that's not – just saying, like, they beat the Blazers. They lost to the Spurs. They beat the Blazers, lost to the Pacers, beat the Spurs, lost to the Suns, beat the Spurs, beat the Pistons, beat the Nets, lost to the Kings, lost to the Clippers, lost to the Jazz. I mean, like, they're not – it's only three wins against the Spurs. But I'm just – you know what I mean? Like, we don't know if the Lakers are playing – better yet.
I see your point. Well, they're definitely playing better.
I'm just saying, like, I don't know. Maybe.
I see your point.
Yeah. I mean, if you can't beat the Spurs and the Pistons, and the Blazers, you're right now, like, you're awful. Not just, I mean, that's just the truth.
I know, but terrible. But LeBron and Davis are good. Like, Davis.
Yeah. LeBron and Davis are awesome. And they played well, and they ran them over. They scored 128 points. Yeah. I mean, that's the thing. You can't. It's just so weird. Like, the Blazers still in the second quarter scored 40 points. You score 40 points in a quarter, you're probably going to win. Oh, but you gave up 42, so you're going to lose. Like, that's with any players in the NBA that can score 40, that means they're capable of enough to not give up 42, right? So that's the part that makes me say, wait a minute, where's this dog mentality? Where's that difference between a Terry Stotts team, right, that we knew couldn't play defense, and a Chauncey Billups team that's supposed to be able to play defense, you know, from 1 to 12. So while I didn't think they could win, that's the part where I go, well, that's a mentality thing, right? That's a thing where if you're able to score 40, that means the players on the court have capabilities. You shouldn't give up 42, but you know, it doesn't mean it's not fixable, right? Again, it's game 22 and they were 9-3. I do always, you know, mention the fact that professional sports, there's that thing, there's that video that they watch, there's coaches, there's scouting. So sometimes, you know, when they've adjusted on you, you have to adjust on them. And I think that's a lot of what happened with Sharp, you know, and now he has to readjust. I think that's happened a little bit on what Chauncey Billups is doing, that the other coaches, all right, this is what they're going to do. This is what we'll do. Now you have to adjust. But I just don't know how the injury part comes in where, well, how can you adjust with what you have? Because the bench is really bad right now because they have to play. They're not supposed to, right? Yeah. And they're playing minutes. Sharps was never supposed to have been a rotation guy that you had to count on unless something crazy happened. And we got to talk about it now. Let's go positive here. That putback dunk. Holy Mazabada Vujia. Wow. What was that? I mean, that was ridiculous. I mean, that is elite of the elite athletically. I don't know. He not only did he put it back off the rim, he threw it down so hard and so clean, it bounced like 40 feet in the air. That was a moment that just made everybody who was watching the game and then on the internet go, oh, wow, who this, right? Like, what was it like in the arena when that putback went in?
I had the perfect angle for it. Usually in arenas, we're either up like above the 100 level or maybe on the side 100 level. Very rarely are you courtside. LA, you're courtside, but you're courtside in the end zone behind the basket. And I was behind the basket to the left, like fourth row basically. And so I was lower than he was. So it looked even more aerodynamic the way he went up. But he just came out of nowhere because I'm watching Ant shoot the ball sort of basically directly at me. And it comes off the rim and all of a sudden this thing comes flying into my vision and just grabs the ball and cocks it back and just boom. And I you know, there's press row rules, you know, no cheering, right? I went, oh my God. And I looked around and everyone around me, like Brooke Ozendam was like, oh my Lord. Casey Holdall was like, oh. And I looked behind me and the media behind me were like grabbing each other, like, you know, people do when they go, oh my God, did you see that? Like, everyone was just like, holy crap, what was that? The shape, right, rubbing your eyes. And they didn't show it again on the big screen, I don't think. Anyway, like, was like, did we just see that? So yeah, it was absolutely insane. Dude is so explosive. So I just actually posted a story about that and I did a video and we talked to Shaden after the game and he said, he's like, I needed that basically because he'd been playing so poorly. And I'm blaming you because you're going to blame me for Ant things.
That's fine.
But listen to this. Fine. Going into that game, over the six previous games, he had scored 16 points total on 22% shooting. That's how bad he had been playing. And it's funny because people kept on Twitter sometimes, they used to be playing sharp more. I'm like, are you not paying attention to the box scores? Plus, he struggles defensively at times. He struggles offensively because he doesn't really understand the systems yet. He's still a little kid, basically, in the NBA experience-wise. He's literally a Bambi right now. But he said he needed that for his confidence. Like, he had been dealing with, you know, some confidence issues, not in his abilities, but just in just being able to handle what he's dealing with. And Billups made the point that, yeah, he started out great, and now guess what? You end up on a scouting report, you know?
Exactly.
And these are grown men in the NBA, and they're like, oh, this kid's putting up some numbers. Oh, he's got some athleticism. We're going to study him and learn his weaknesses and tendencies and things like that and attack him differently, both offensively and defensively. And so that's why Billups takes him out at the end of the game. Even the last really good game he had prior to last night, 20 points against Brooklyn, he wasn't in the final few minutes because you just can't trust him to not make critical mistakes. But big, huge, you know, another huge example of his athleticism. And he did shoot well last night, but they have to have offense from him off the bench because right now the Blazers rank dead last in the NBA in bench scoring at 24.9 points per game. What's interesting, though, is that they lead and bench field goal percentage. So at least the guys who are playing are shooting well, but they don't have enough guys really to produce what you would want to produce. And that's also hurt or helped along because Lillard's not playing. So if you take 28 points per game out of the starting lineup, someone's got to start in his place and they got to spread those points around and then you have less coming off the bench. So regardless, Shaden, they need Shaden at an effective, efficient 10 to 15 points a night to help that bench scoring.
Yeah, and what when you talk about the bench scoring and the percentages is, first of all, Nasir Little was supposed to be battling for a starting gig, right? And not only is he hurt, but when he hasn't played in a way that you're like, well, he wasn't going to win that battle. Like, Hart, it's not even close, right? I mean, right. The comparison. And so when you look at it with those numbers, they just don't, on a Blazers team previously, right, not throw out last year, you had Simons come off the bench and he could score double figures easy. You know, that was his gig.
Right.
Norm Powell came off the bench. He had, you know, 32 and 22 and a quarter. I mean, there's usually a guy on a bench on a good NBA team that you expect to score, that they could score 20. That is the only guy is sharp. And when he scores 20, he's given up 18 probably. I mean, so that's a huge problem right now with this bench, is that the expectation was that Little was going to come in and provide some of that spark and maybe on the offensive end, and it's not. So that's struggling. And, you know, back to Sharp, like, even, you know, last night he gave us a moment to all remember, but there were two things that stood out to me. One, he made a pass that got picked off that at AAU it probably doesn't get picked off, but it gets picked off in the NBA every time, and it gets turned into 2 points. Yep. And then there was another moment when Davis has the ball down low and is going up for an easy one, and he did a little slap foul, you know, like we do on the court, and it might stop Thien from making a layup, but Davis didn't even feel it, and Thien's giving me the no, but you know what I'm saying? But Davis didn't even feel it, went up, laid it in, and it was a 2+1. That's the kind of foul you don't make in the NBA, right? You don't foul a Davis when he's already in position to make the layup. And give with a little slap thing. That's stuff he'll learn.
Right.
That you can't make that pass in the NBA, and you don't. Sometimes, either you foul him hard, or you don't foul him at all, because you're just giving that guy an extra point. So, those are the small details that I can see. Right, a guy that's not an NBA coach, so I can't. And an NBA player, I can't imagine what else they're seeing. But that's what I worry about, Aaron. When I look at this team, even healthy, where is that bench support going to come from? Obviously, GP, you know, Gary Payton, you're hoping would come. You didn't, and he could give you 13, right, if he plays, you know, his normal stuff.
25 minutes,
You know, that's the worry to me. You didn't bring him in for offense. That the bench, there's just so much dependent on the starting lineup. I mean, I don't know if guys get tired, because I've never been an elite athlete in the NBA, but like Simons, you know, they're talking about the minutes that he played back to back, and you're like, well, that shouldn't be anything, but maybe it is. And maybe that's why he didn't shoot well, right, in the second of a back to back. And if you need those guys at their peak performances, they do need to get rest, right? And they can't be dependent on every time. And where's it going to come on this bench, even healthy? Aaron, do you know, is that something you're worried about?
They don't have a microwave coming off the bench, right? They don't have
Vinnie Johnson.
No Vinnie Johnson. There's no, like you mentioned, Norman Powell.
Jamal Crawford.
And, yeah, you know. Or Gary Trent. Remember Trent was coming off the bench. They don't really have that kind of guy. And you would like Sharp to be that guy, but he's 19. So if there was one thing,
Little was supposed to be that guy, right?
But Little's a shoot when you're wide open and put back athletic guy. He's not a you have to worry about me offensively guy. Like I'm gonna shoot off, I'm gonna pull up off the dribble, I'm gonna drive the lane and dunk on you, I'm gonna do a fadeaway jump shot. Like he's just not that kind of scorer. He can't score. But here's what's crazy. I was just looking this up while you were talking. I wrote a sidebar about him after the Pelicans game because he was 6-for-11, 15 points, some critical minutes in that Pelicans win. Since then, 12-of-33 from the field for 34 total points. And that's in like 9 games. So he's falling off the map production wise. And so, yeah, if I'm getting 8 to 12, 13 from him a night, I'm feeling pretty good. Because during the stretch when they went 4-2 on the road, he gave you 12 once, 9, 6, 5, 15. You know, it's a couple good games in there. But if he's giving you nothing off the bench, then you're in trouble because you don't have very many other guys who really can score consistently. So that's looking like a problem. I think they have a very good defensive bench because even with Winslow's coming off the bench, he gives you good defense. But again, you don't want him to be a focal point of the offense. So I think defensively, they have a good bench. Offensively, they need a dude. Like if they don't make a major trade, I would like to see them just go get a guy who makes like 8 to 10 million a year and all he does is score.
Jamal Crawford still – isn't he still a free agent?
He still is, and you know right now he could go out there and give you 15. It might be on 5-of-15, but he's going to give you 15.
That is. You play him long enough, he'll get you 50. He's done it every team he ever played for. They lost most of those games, but you know.
He drove me.
You know, the one thing I was looking at that about their offense is something that – we haven't talked a lot about with this Blazer team ever, and that's that playmaking. And I know assists is not the, you know, it's not the end all be all when it comes to, you know, how you're helping others score. But Dame averages 7 assists a game. even with his points, he averaged 7 assists a game. Simon's average is 4.5 assists a game. Now he's playing, you know, upwards of 40 minutes and giving you 4.5 assists a game. And I thought, oh, well, maybe went really low when Dame, you know, when Dame was playing, and then he brought it up. Now he had eight assists twice, both losses, one way back in against Memphis, and then last night against the Lakers.
Right.
But without Dame, he's at 5, 6, 5, 6, 4, and 8, like in this stretch. And there's not like there's someone else handing them out. So that's, you know, obviously the defensive end's the bigger story, but it is something that when, you know, Simons is the point guard now on this team, and 5 assists is, you know, 4.5 assists, that's too low for your starting point guard.
I agree. So here's what I'll say about this, because, of course, I'm going to defend Ant no matter what.
Of course, yeah.
I'm just kidding. So when Dame's playing, some of Dame's assists are coming from giving the ball to Ant. Ant's playing.
She's a 3.
Yeah, Ant's playing, and he doesn't have Dame to get assists off of. He doesn't have anyone, really, other than Grant. Now, and Dame has Grant as well. That said, I don't disagree with you, because when you have a guard who's capable of lighting it up from 3, that guy's going to shoot 3s. He's not going to be looking like a Stockton or a Magic or Jason Kidd to be an assist guy to facilitate others. He's the other. He's facilitating, right, scoring. He's passing it to himself. He should get an assist for that. That's probably what he's thinking. Okay. But I've always said this. Even when Lillard blew up back in the day, I was like, they would be a much better team if Dame was averaging 23-11 than 29-7. And I think history has shown that with point guards, for the most part, other than the greatest scoring point guard ever, Steph Curry, right? So when you can distribute and get other people involved, you get a lot of good looks that way, a lot of layups and dunks if you're a point guard setting people up. They just don't play that way necessarily. They don't really have guys you set up for things like that other than Grant. But Grant's even playing out on the perimeter. You know, Grant's one step deep and pulling up 3s. You know, so, and this is something Chauncey's talked about since he became the head coach. He wants paint touches. He wants the ball moving. He wants more assists. He doesn't want the quick trigger 3s. But when you don't have a lot of scoring on your roster and Dame's out, if Ant doesn't shoot those 3s, you're dead in the water anyway. But to your point, overall, big picture, yes, they'd be a much better team if they were capable as a team, not just Ant, of him having 8 to 10 assists tonight, even when Lillard's out, than having 5 or 4. Agree with you 100%.
And I kind of get it from, you know, Anthony's point of view. He's like, okay, I could take this 3, which I know I can, you know, I think I can make, or I could throw it inside for a 2-footer from my center, Nurkic, and he'll probably airball it. You know, so he's like, what would you do, right? I mean, he's like, I'm gonna get 3 for us, and I shoot, you know, close to 40%. I feel I can make 50%. He's shooting about that from 2 to 5 feet. So I'm gonna go with that. And I joke, but I do think, you know, NBA, you know, elite athletes have super confidence, and they're not immune to knowing that their center struggles close by. So when when you had Shaq, you're like, well, he's gonna dunk it. I'll give it to him, right? You know, yeah. If you're Nurkic, you're like, and you're Simons, you're like, eh, he might make it, but it's not a guarantee, so I'll shoot the 3.
Nurkic, every game Nurkic has, what, 3 or 4, where you're like, how did he not make that?
He airballed the layup. Did you guys see that?
Yeah.
He airballed the layup. Maybe he got fouled, but he got called for a travel because he airballed the layup and they caught it.
Right.
that was bad.
Anyway.
But it's not Nurkic's fault. This is you've talked me out of that. So I'm not
He is who he is. Know your personnel. All right. So real quick, before we get to our no-look pass, Chris Haynes reported that Damian Lillard could be back Sunday against the Pacers. I haven't been.
Did you see his suit, man? He's looking good. I got to tell you.
At the Clippers game?
Chris was looking good.
We talked.
He was looking good.
He looked really sharp. But no one on the Blazers would confirm that, which is pissing me off. But so let's say he's back Sunday, which would make sense. That would be about 2 weeks. Gary Payton, still no word on him, still trying to work through, you know, figuring out the soreness. I mean, it, now it's getting to the point now where it's like, okay, we're 21 games into this, 22 games into the season. We're a quarter of the way through. We haven't seen this guy. That's becoming an issue, I think, when you're supposed to be back by the start of the season and it's 22 games later and you're still not back and there's no real clear explanation other than it's just continued soreness.
And you almost came back. You were at the cusp.
Right.
You know, they were taught something happened. Guess, the assumption is it's not just soreness or this or that because he was supposed to be beyond that.
It might be reanimated or something. Who knows?
Something not great. We're not doctors, but it's not great.
They need Dane back. And the thing that's crazy, like, we're talking about them losing 8 of 10. I mean, they could easily, Dane comes back, Hart and Lilo get back in there, boom, they win at an 8 out of 10. That's what's crazy about the NBA. It happens all the time. We've seen it all the time. So this isn't, sky is completely falling, but they do not look good right now with or without Dame. So we'll see how things move on from here. There'll be plenty more to talk about. Big weekend, another back-to-back, Utah Saturday. I'll be there for that. And then the Pacers on Sunday. So you have a no look for us there, Thien? You know, you like how we call him Thien?
Yeah, that's good.
You know,
that's...
you're cool when people call you by your last name, Thien.
So
for sure.
Is it? I will say this, though. I think it's an East Coast thing. We always call people either by nicknames or last names. Way more than the West Coast, and I lived in the South. That's just a thing. Like, you know, people call me Bernie. You know, they might call me. I have other nicknames, you know.
Yeah, keep going.
No,
Bernie?
Whatever.
Bernie? For Bernie?
Burnback.
Yeah, like...
You call me Burnback. I call myself Burnback.
Is it,
you know,
back?
I say back. My brother says Bach. So I, you know.
You don't carry the way?
Obviously, I haven't torn your head off for that, and I took your head off for everything
else. I thought I was doing it right. I thought it was Burnback. I thought we had a conversation about this, and it was,
you know,
Bach. My bad. Burnback.
No.
I say Burnback.
But yes, my brother. Best line ever before we do this, my mom, you know, who I lost not too long ago, but greatest line ever. People would say, well, your brother, you know, one son says burn back, the other one says burn back. What do you say? My mom would say, I divorced that man and that name a long time ago. I don't care how you say it.
That's awesome. Well, what did your mom go by though? Do you remember?
Well, my mom, eventually she went and she got remarried, but she took that name off when...
No, I know, but what was she... How did she say people should say when she was married?
Oh, when we were growing, we were Burnback.
It was Burnback.
That's what my,
okay.
You know...
Is your brother just trying to be...
But my brother was
he trying
like,
to sound more sophisticated by making it Burnback?
Yeah. Okay. He's like, the composer is Bach. I'm like, well, I don't think we're related.
That's awesome. Okay. Craig Burnback, let's go on to the no look from Thien.
All right. Well, you guys are so good. Let the record show that I had a pretty good one that you just talked about because you guys are just so insightful. I was going to ask which.
I love this producer.
Which are you more concerned about offensively, the lack of ball movement, you know, ranking 23rd in assists or turnovers? And you guys already talked about that. You're just that good. All right, so I thought I'd get fun. We talked about bench scoring. What if I told you that there was an unsigned NBA player who averaged 22.5 points per game throughout an illustrious career and has a connection to both this team and its coach?
Well, I don't think you're a liar, so I'd believe
the Blazers
you.
Should bring back Carmelo Anthony.
Oh, no. No.
Yeah.
True or false?
No.
Yeah, no. No, it's false. I don't think you know, what do you do when people get healthy, right? You cut them? You don't cut.
You remember early in the season last year, Carmelo came out of the gate just killing it, and Laker fans were just talking all this trash. That's been Laker fans out there winning the title with all this old man crew. And I tweeted something like how the Blazers saved his career. And I got some Blazer fans liked it, but Laker fans gave me some backlash and said how stupid the Blazers were for not keeping him. And I said he didn't fit what they do moving forward. And some fans were like, he fits anything. He's Carmelo Anthony, blah, blah, blah. And the bottom line is he's a hot, you know, he's when he's in, he's shooting. And it's going up, and bad shots be damned. And they don't want, Billups doesn't want a ball stopper who's going to be, now if he's a spot up three shooter and taking wide open three, it's great because he shot 43% and 43% here, I think, something like that, from three. He was killing us. His best three
points. And he did do that.
Yeah, I mean.
And he did do that.
Sorry, it was 39.9. during his time here. So that, I mean, yeah, you give me that guy. But the problem is he likes to go down the block and do his little fadeaway spin like he's still young Carmelo. And his efficiency on those was not very good at all. It's a wasted shot, really. It's a wasted possession. Plus, he doesn't play any defense at all. And it's only going to get worse since he's older. And so that's why they didn't want him. Because Billups, when I talked to Billups in the summer of when he got hired, he said, we want, you know, younger guys who can run in transition, that we don't need an old, you know, older players who are one dimensional. So yeah, no to Carmelo all day.
Yeah, and also he's not coming to do this. I mean, at his age, he thinks he's a final piece, and maybe he would be. And I just want to say, I've always been a Carmelo defender, and I'm a Knicks fan. So I just think that he is what he is. And when people say he wasn't a winner, that used to make me laugh. I'm like, he won a national title on his own, pretty much. And then he won multiple gold medals where the players, like LeBron, decided he was the go-to scorer on those teams. And he did. And at times, he was the best player in the Olympics because they chose that role. So when people say Carmelo's not a winner, and he took a team to a Western Conference final that, you know, wasn't when he was young with Denver, I'm always like, so is Damian Lillard a loser? Because he didn't win a national title at Weber.
Listen.
He didn't win an NBA title. Like, where do you define these things?
Yeah,
he's a Hall of Fame basketball player who can score and can score like very few have ever done in the NBA. And that's it. Like, stop hating on Carmelo Anthony, to me.
My thing with Carmelo, and I wanted Carmelo to come to Chicago. Remember that summer? Although I was pissed that the Bulls put like a big giant banner on the stadium of him. Like, they went over the top with it. But I wanted him there because he's a dominant scorer, there's no doubt. I think the knock against him is when you start comparing up. Like, if you compare it to the people at his level or below, he's amazing. Yeah. But you compare up to Kobe, Jordan, LeBron, yeah. Magic. Like, he was never quite at that level. And part of the reason was he didn't really make his teammates better. I think that's true. He was a little bit of a ball hog in certain situations where you're like, that was a questionable decision or a questionable shot. But his volume was so great, it kind of was forgiven. I think he could have been better in that respect. But there's no doubt he's a Hall of Fame great player. He just needed, and like anyone else, he needed another dude with him. Like, everyone who's quote-unquote winner had dudes with them. Carmelo never really had another dude with him.
Right. And he still did amazing things.
Right.
When he had dudes with him, he dominated the Olympics. I mean, we all would have, yeah, but exactly. You know what I'm saying? I'm just saying they knew.
Yeah. The guys we're talking about respected his talent.
Respected him enough.
Right, exactly. LeBron and Kobe did. So, yeah, I think he's an amazing player, but not now.
And he was the first guy, not the first guy ever, but in this group of NBA players, he forced himself out. And the thing that makes me angrier about that is he actually, as opposed to like LaMarcus, who said, I'm coming back. Maybe I'm coming back. I think I'm coming back. I'm gone. And the Blazers got nothing. Carmelo said, hey, Denver, I'm not coming back. You should trade me and get stuff. And then he got, he was villainized for it. And then afterward, LeBron just left Cleveland. And I'm just saying, they got stuff from the Knicks. They got stuff. So in a way, he did them right because he told them a year in advance, like, hey, you should trade me because I'm not going to resign. So either trade me or lose me for nothing. And other people
don't do that.
Lost for nothing.
Yep.
And this isn't a Carmelo. I'm not like, I don't have Carmelo posters. He didn't win a title for the Knicks.
Yeah, you got,
it just gets me mad.
It sounds like you have Carmelo jammies though.
my son last night got mad at me because he's five. We still put him down in the bed, and I don't have jammies, right? I got a shorts and a sweatshirt, and he's like, I don't like sleeping with you because you don't have jammies. Like, Mama, you're not comfortable. I'm like, I'm from Jersey. We don't do jammies. I don't even. I say pajamas, right? I don't have jammies. I don't think I had jammies when I was eight. I'm like,
psh. Okay.
My mom gave me a regular size kid shirt for me. That was long.
Is this what we call digressing?
Now let's end this thing.
What have I done?
He's like, I just asked a simple question. Anyway, I think we agree on Carmelo's legacy and impact, but no, not a good fit. Okay, anything else you got before I shut this thing down?
No, I
got
to be quiet now. You basically told me, you both told me, stop.
You were getting passionate, man. It was like if someone had said something bad about Billie Jean and I ran under Michael Jackson ran or something. Okay, anyway. I think the Blazers are going to turn around and get Dame back, at least get back to being solid, if not great again. The 9-3 thing was a little bit of a, not a fluke, but they had some close games in there. They pulled out. Even Chauncey said that they're going to be better, but not as great as they were when they were 9-3 and not as bad as they are now for sure. So we will get back in next week and talk about that. Hopefully when Dame comes back this weekend, hopefully he does. But that all said, thanks for listening to the Blazer Focus podcast supported by Zoop Care Beyond Better Healthcare. Be sure to leave us a 5-star review in the Apple Podcast, tell a friend. It really helps people find the show. And smash that subscribe button so you don't miss our next episode. Have a great weekend.